We are again privileged to read from God's Word, and again from both the Old and New Testament. And this afternoon, let's read first from the Old Testament, Psalm 103. And then after that, we will read Philippians 2, 1 to 13. Psalm 103, we have an example of honoring God's name. And we'll come back to that in the sermon. Hear the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then we go to Philippians 2, 1 to 13. This is all in reference also to hallowing God's name. Let's read these verses. Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels or inner yearnings and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So far the scriptures, and our text as mentioned in the bulletin is Matthew 6 verse 9 and Luke 11 verse 2, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We want to look at the catechism's instruction on this. I have it in the back of the bulletin. If you want, it's also question answer 122, page 84 in the back of the Psalter. But in the back of the bulletin, what is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer? Answer, hallowed be your name. That is, grant us first rightly to know you and to sanctify, glorify, and praise you in all your works, in which your power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that your name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Well, may the Lord bless our time thinking about this all, explaining this petition, an example of this petition, and encouragement with this petition. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, when a Christian really desires and longs for something, it can be heard in his or her prayers. Would you say that's true? If you really desire something, it can be heard in your prayers. And isn't it true too, God's people, when truly saved, most desire what God calls for in our lives, and what is to God's glory and for our neighbor's well-being? Do your and my prayers demonstrate and reflect God-honoring desires above all? Or are our prayers mostly just self-focused, earthly-minded interests of ourselves? How much we can learn from Jesus' pattern set in the Lord's Prayer that he taught his disciples. Notice how the first three requests or petitions are all God-focused, God-centered. Certainly you can't miss this with the first petition, "Hallowed be your name." Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, that is consecrated, most esteemed and glorified be your name. In this afternoon's sermon, let's think about praying this first petition under the theme, as mentioned in the bulletin, praying and living the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. We have 3 points explaining this petition, example of this petition, and encouragement with this petition. In explaining this first petition, there's not too much that has to be said, I don't think. You know, I think that when the petition asks that God's name be hallowed, it means that God himself be honored and glorified, as is his due. God's names tell us who he is and describe him in his essence and in his wonderfulness in every way. He is his names. God's names are not just labels, but actual descriptions of himself. When we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," as Jesus teaches us, Jesus means then that we hold up high God triune for all that he is, and that we glorify him as God and magnify him as revealed in all his works as Creator God and God of providence and God of salvation. This morning's sermon was especially about, remember, how great God is, and yet how he humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. And remember how that Psalm 113, doesn't only exhort to praise the Lord, but 3 times too it mentions praising the name of the Lord. Psalm 113 verse 3 states indeed, "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." The first petition of the Lord's Prayer is related also to the first 4 of the 10 commandments, and especially the 3rd commandment, of course. "You shall not take the Lord's name in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, you can say, is asking God Jehovah to help us truly to magnify God for all his worth. When truly praying this petition, we are asking God Triune to help us both rightly and honorably to know him and to represent him in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, and to promote him, to proclaim him as the one only true God, most glorious and wonderful in all his works and ways. Really, question and answer 122 of the Catechism explains this petition in a faithful and full way as the Scriptures mean it and as Jesus intended it. What is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer? Answer, hallowed be your name. That is, grant us first rightly to know you and to sanctify, glorify, and praise you in all your works, in which your power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order our lives and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that your name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Well now, this Christmas holiday season, 2015, let me ask each one of you here, is this first petition of the Lord's Prayer a sincere and hearty desire and prayer of you and me too? We are in the time of the year when many people, even in a time of economic downturn, are busy doing Christmas shopping. What do you want for Christmas? What are you hoping to get this Christmas? Are you done your Christmas shopping yet? These kinds of questions are often asked in this time of the year. And such questions are not necessarily bad, but let us keep reminding ourselves that they are questions that are all relatively meaningless and frivolous. You can have a very blessed Christmas and holiday season without receiving a single material earthly present from anyone. Far greater questions are questions like, what is your heart set on in life's brief earthly journey? Are you reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners? Do you know Christ the Savior as your Savior and Lord? And do you have his peace in your heart, thinking of his salvation work on sinners' behalf, that work Jesus came to accomplish when he came to this earth? Jesus came as mediator and Savior of sinners to open the way by his one all sacrifice, even with his death on the cross, to bring about true and everlasting forgiveness of all our sins, and to give everlasting righteousness for us before God, and eternal peace and life with God to be enjoyed here in part already, and then hereafter in perfection forever in the new heavens and new earth. What can compare to that? Are you hallowing God's name, Jesus' name, with that name which is above every name? Especially as Savior God. Is this your greatest longing and desire also in all your Christmas and holiday celebrations as another year draws to a close? Someone said to me this morning, actually, that they really like the Christmas season because it gives them more opportunity to speak about Jesus. I was very encouraged by that. Because people don't mind you talking about Jesus with Christmas. You have an in just with the Christmas season that you might not have in another season. And which Christian won't only have this as a main desire and focus in their lives, but also the confession of sin at the same time? Oh Lord, how far I fall short, time and again, in honoring you above all, and honoring your name and your gospel and your church and kingdom above all else. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Help me against still so much self-centeredness and worldliness and just plain sinfulness still in my life. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Is that what's reflected in your life and mine? Yes. Do you say to Lord, this is my greatest longing, living here in Calgary, December 2015. It's the first petition of the Lord's Prayer that you taught us, and it's the first and uppermost desire and aim of my life, that your name be exalted and that you be known as God of creation, God of providence, and God of salvation, that you be known as such in spirit and truth, in my life and in all my family and all my church and in our province and in our nation and indeed in the whole wide world. I ask you, dear congregation, each one sitting here this afternoon, don't you think Jesus, from his side, this is what he meant when he said, we pray to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Is this your and my petition to the Lord too? Our priority, care, and aim in life, always looking to the Lord to fulfill in us and through us too, in our personal lives, in our family lives, and in our church life, and in our witness to those around us. You know, thinking too of the dark times in which we live, isn't there so much reason for fervently praying, daily so even, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, glorified, most esteemed and magnified be your name. Now, having explained this first petition somewhat, let's look next at an example of hallowing God's name in our lives. The example of doing this is taken from Scripture itself this afternoon. In fact, from David in his testimony in Psalm 103. And what made me think of giving an example of hallowing God's name is both the desire to be practical in this sermon and thinking too of bad examples, or thinking of too many examples of people who confess to be Christians who are not hallowing God's name rightly. Thinking especially in our times, in these very days in which we live, it's not out of order to say that we don't hallow God's name simply by condemning and disrespecting other people and their false religions. I saw this past week, someone speaking against the Muslim religion, not Donald Trump, someone else, and holding up the Quran in his hand, and then simply letting it drop on the ground, on the floor, in total disgust and disrespect for that false book, full of lies and devilish deceit, to be sure. But is that the way we should especially focus on hallowing God's name? That is, by diminishing and blasting all false religions in a shameless and defiant manner. In connection with that, I had thought about it. I didn't do it, but I thought about it as an illustration, vividly to bring out my point. I thought about taking my copy of the Quran, yes, I have a copy, and of the Book of Mormon, and taking the Roman Catholic Catechism Manual, and the Jehovah's Witness New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures, and at this point in my sermon, actually, throwing them all on the floor and then stepping on them and saying, what trash this is, all fit to be burned. Now, that'd be pretty dramatic. I was dramatic anyways. But would that be the way to hallow God's name? Is that the way we should do it? No, dear congregation, it's not the way. You know, strikingly, when the apostles went on their missionary journeys, their focus was not on bad-mouthing false religions. See Acts 19, verse 17, verse 37, as proof. Acts 19, verse 37. But rather, their focus was on ever lifting high and exalting and promoting the one true religion. You know, it's like that money expert. I'm sure you've heard about this before. That money expert who observed some time ago, the best way to detect and expose counterfeit money is not by focusing on the counterfeits, but by knowing the real money for what it is, in its details and in its value. I read someone writing this week, the following, and I thought how important to for us to keep this in mind in our sinful, confused, blind world. This person wrote, quote, "Let's hold fragile hearts with loving hands, terribly careful with our theology, using it as a balm and not a bludgeon," which is another word for club. "May we be slow," said this person, "to formalize and quick to empathize, because life is so very hard. And until God makes all things new, people are dying for a cup of cold water in their sufferings." End of quote. When I read that, I thought, there's a lot of truth to that. Oh, for the righteous balance in all these matters, dear congregation. Always speaking the truth in love. As Paul exhorts in Ephesians 4, verse 15. How we need God's help and guidance for this always. And therefore also this prayer of this first petition. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Magnified, exalted, prized, esteemed be your name. So let me urge then now, in our turbulent times, in the perilous last days in which we are living, let's follow the example of hallowing God's name as we have, for instance, given by David in Psalm 103. And I invite you to turn with me to that psalm now as I show you at least seven ways that David hallowed God's name. For one, observe David reminding himself in his heart personally to hallow God's name. Isn't that the way, what he does in the opening verse? Opening verses. What does he say there to himself? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Do you hear David here? Not only reminding himself personally to have this priority in his life, but that he have this priority in his life with the whole of his being. "All that is within me," he says. David doesn't want to be a half-hearted, partly committed, sometimes devoted believer in the Lord and confessor of his name. No, rather he's praying, he's saying here that he wants with the whole of his being to serve the Lord and to bless his name. And he saw the daily need to remind himself of this calling from his innermost being with all his heart and life to praise the Lord and to bless, to exalt, to honor God's holy name. David realizes full well God's name is not like many other idol gods out there. No, God's name is holy. It's sanctified. It's set apart above every other name. It's separate and unique from all others. His is the name that is above every name indeed. That name before whom every knee will one day bow. Is this your confession of faith here today too? And does it show in you, like David, daily reminding yourself and praying to God for this? "Lord, hallowed be your name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Not only does David pray humbly and heartily, reminding himself to hallow God's name, but secondly, notice, he does this with thankfulness to God. Thankfulness. When he says in verse 2, not to forget all God's benefits to him, isn't David being most thankful here then? Shouldn't we be most thankful to God too? When we are led and guided and moved by God's Spirit and Word to honor and exalt his name above every other name? I mean, who makes you and me to differ from so many around us, caught up in false religions or in hopeless consumerism and materialism or heathenism, all that which our world so promotes also at this time of the year? It's only God's grace. When you and I are rightly focused on the one true God, and when by God's Spirit, through the gospel message, we are converted to Christ and followers of him, confessing Jesus as our only Savior and Lord, you and I can be thankful enough for God's undeserved mercies to us in so leading us and guiding us in our Christian homes and Christian church, with our Christian friends, and with the Christian books and teaching and preaching that He grants to us. So let's bless the Lord, and let's lift high His name, hallowing His name, doing so heartily, reminding ourselves of this priority day by day, and humbly thankful for this priority day by day. And thirdly, notice how David hallows God's name specifically. Yes, specifically focusing on the Lord's forgiving grace and mercy as revealed ultimately in His promised Messiah, Redeemer, King, Jesus Christ. Without going into the details of verses 3 to 12, that would be far too much in this sermon, it is very clear, just reading those verses, David is just so moved and overwhelmed with the gracious salvation plan and the forgiving love of God for a sinner like himself and for others, that as God has provided for that, he can't get over His mercy being so high and His forgiveness of sins being so wide from the east to the west. He's amazed. He's astounded with it all. David understood. He understood it only from the Old Testament perspective. But we in the New Testament age, we may know the full plan of God's salvation through the Son of David, Jesus Christ, come as substitute for sinners, making full atonement for sin for all who repent and call on Jehovah for mercy. At the root and center, dear congregation, of all genuine and repeated and growing hallowing of God's holy name is this focused praise and adoration for the heart of the gospel, that God in and through Christ has brought about salvation and has provided in His justice and holiness and grace and mercy salvation for sinners like us, complete and eternal. In Psalm 48, verse 10, the psalmist says, "According to your name, O God, so is your praise unto the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness." You could almost say, your right hand is full of salvation. When people hallow God's name or say they want to honor the Lord, but the cross of Christ and His saving work to guilty, vile sinners like ourselves is not highlighted or even hardly mentioned, there's something wrong there. When people confess the name of Christ but don't speak of Him and treasure Him above all as Savior and Redeemer God through His precious blood shed on sinners' behalf, then God's name is not really hallowed and honored as it ought to be. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, as well as God the Son Himself, they look to have Jesus as Savior, exalted, lifted high, now and forevermore. And I say this also on the basis of what we read about the perfect holy praise of God's name in heaven, as told to us in Revelations chapters 5 to 7. We read in those chapters that a huge part of the refrain of eternal praises to God's name is the line, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, forever and ever." Revelation 5, verse 12 and 14. Doesn't Paul, in our reading also from Philippians 2, bring out the close connection between Jesus' humiliation and life sacrifice, even to the death of the cross, and His being given by God a name which is above every other name? So, hallowing and honoring God's name as is His due, from Psalm 103, we learn that means exalting the Lord and His works personally, thankfully, and specifically, especially in view of the Savior and His salvation for us. Notice next, fourthly, hallowing God's name means surely also praising Him widely or generally for all His wondrous works and ways in life. Think here of David in the verses 13 to 17. How he so testifies of the Lord's care and keeping, and God tenderly knowing our frailties, and in a fatherly way reaching out to us in our needs, providing for us time and again as we call upon Him. Do we not, as Christians, confess every good and perfect gift comes down to us from the Father above? We live and move and have our being, as Paul also says to the Athenians in Acts 17:28, we live and move and have our being from Him, God alone. You know, as the years go by, each and every breath we breathe is God's gift to us. Every drink of clean, cold water, every slice of bread, every night's sleep, every healthy day is His undeserved mercy and loving kindness to us. God's care and keeping of our lives and bountiful supply of good things in so many ways. Yes, also when we are sick, He can often help us in so many ways. Do we acknowledge it day by day? David confesses to our human frailties and mortality, but yet he finds comfort in looking to the Lord and His fatherly care for us, His keeping of us, body and soul, in life and death. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Widely speaking, generally speaking, for are not all His benefits and blessings to us in and through Christ all so good, so complete, so abundant, so undeserved in all our needs and ways, in all our circumstances, in life and death, and beyond. You see how this is all definitely a huge part of hallowing God's name in spirit and truth. It explains why before we eat, we say, Lord, thank you for this food and drink. Please bless it to us. It's hallowing God's name for the simplest of things in life. Do you and I reflect hallowing God's name in praising Him day by day for all His multitude of loving kindnesses and tender care shown to us in more ways than we can count even? Not only that, but notice how David praises God's name, especially also, fifthly, for family reasons. Or perhaps I should say, for covenant blessings in the family line. Doesn't this come out in verses 17 to 18? What promises God pledges to His people and for the children of His people, down through the generations. To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. Doesn't the Lord promise in a special way His faithful covenant care and keeping, and His endless mercy to us and our seed through His covenant of grace established with His people in all generations till the present day even? Oh, to have our covenant children pledged to them by baptism before they know anything of their own righteousness, to have pledged to them God's righteousness for them in and through Christ Jesus, the Savior, trusting and following Him. How special is that, really? To be born and raised in a Christian covenant home where God's word is read and upheld, and where children are raised in God's ways, and the Christian church and Sunday worship is regularly and faithfully a priority matter that is joyfully, thankfully, and lovingly pursued. Who can tell the worth of such a Christian and godly heritage? Oh, of course, you're right. That by itself doesn't save anyone. And each covenant child, too, needs to be born again and converted. Yet how favored we are when so raised. And what a further condemnation against anyone when turning away from God and continuing in unbelief and rebellion before the Lord and His word when raised in a Christian covenant home. Hallowing God's name is being so very thankful for covenant family blessings. And personally acknowledging then the Lord God of your fathers as your God and Savior too, by God's grace. Dear covenant children and young people here in church this afternoon, are you hallowing God's name today? And are you praying to do so in the future too? Indeed, for as long as you live, it will even affect the spouse you choose. Because you'll want then that covenant line to continue in your family line. To be a godly couple, a godly family. Hallowing God's name like David in Psalm 103, are we? Do you see with me next how from verse 19 that David hallows God's name also expectantly? Expectantly waiting the future day when all the world will own God triune as Lord of lords and King of kings. David testifies, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. That's the truth through all generations. We know that true today too, yet we don't see it so much, do we? In our present day world situation. And sometimes we may wonder, I think you will too sometimes, who really is in control in this world? The forces of evil and the false religions of this world and wicked and unwise rulers have so much power and say. But let us trust God's word. And what Jesus also taught us to pray at the end of the Lord's Prayer, remember? After all the petitions, he says, we are to pray, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let's not live by sight, but by faith in Christ and his word. Satan is a defeated foe already, we know. And all the kingdoms of this world will come crashing down in God's time, one by one and all together, one day suddenly and unmistakably. The book of Revelation brings this out in a most concrete and sure manner. In our Bible study this past Wednesday, which was about the 400 so-called silent years between the time of Prophet Malachi and the coming of John the Baptist and Jesus the Savior, we learned God was in control through all the maze and mayhem of those dark, dismal centuries too. And as was brought out in that study, Daniel chapter 8 exactly foretells the main events of those 400 years. The Lord revealed it to Daniel centuries before it all actually happened. You see, our God is from everlasting to everlasting. And as Isaiah, the prophet of God, says about this one true God in chapter 46, verse 10 of Isaiah, he is the God declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Oh, God is ruler over all. Let us be assured of it. And we should hallow his name and pray to hallow it and have it hallowed throughout the world by more and more, because soon every knee shall bow before the Lord, willingly or unwillingly. As Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 11, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How terrible to one day be doing that unwillingly. But how wonderful and triumphant when we and many others will do so willingly by God's grace. Therefore, now already let us pray and live daily petitioning God with heart and lip sincere, as David did in Psalm 103. He prayed, as it were, hallowed be your name, O God, saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Praying this personally, thankfully, specifically, widely, and as family with God's covenant in mind, and expectantly, and seventh, clearly also he prayed this evangelistically, with a sense and a longing that all the world would hallow God's name. And what I mean with this is, as the last verses of the psalm indicate, David indeed did long for the whole world to come to know his God, the only Savior God and ruler over all. This is why he penned Psalm 103 for one reason, for one thing. And it's very striking how he begins the psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And he ends the psalm asking, "Lord, let the whole world and all your dominion and your heavenly host and everything and everywhere, let your name be praised." It goes from his person, and he focuses on God and gets bigger and broader and wider and wider. You see, David realized the calling of Israel, Old Testament people of God. And we, likewise, in the New Testament, need to realize the calling of the Christian church to spread the gospel far and wide and to make known that only name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, if saved anyone will be. And the point with this is, you see, that you and I are not truly praying, "Hallowed be your name," before God, if we are not also caring for the salvation of the lost all around us and reaching out in word and deed to those caught up in false religions and worldly ways and hardened in sin and indifference. Many times we can feel and truly we are so powerless to reach out with the gospel with any effect. But thanks be to God, we can leave the effect to God. We can leave the fruits to him. And we may pray, and pray much, for the Lord to open the doors and hearts to the gospel and to give us opportunities of outreach, and that we use those opportunities as given to us. You know, just as an aside, I hope the Luang family won't mind. They had their grandmother who they were taking care of, and they had caregivers for that grandmother over the years to help take care of her. She died at a high age. Well, next Sunday, God willing, one of those caregivers is going to be confessing his faith and be baptized. And it's an answer to prayer, not only to the Luang family's prayer, but I pray too, Lord. Years ago already, I started praying, "Lord, bless those who go to the Luang family and come under the ministry of the gospel in that family as they take care of Grandma Luang." And now we got an actual answer to prayer next week, God willing. Tony will be baptized. We praise God for that. It's an encouraging thing indeed. What reasons, congregation, to pray, "Hallowed be your name," and to have this constant, fervent prayer, this first petition of the Lord's Prayer. It's not in vain. Our God hears prayer. Remember that Psalm 18? He moves amazingly in answer to prayer. Don't doubt it. Do you see this with me? And does the example of David in Psalm 103 give you two real guidance as to how to pray and to live this first petition in spirit and in truth? Should we not be so encouraged too in praying this prayer? Coming to our third main point. Think of it, how Jesus on the way to the cross taught this prayer for us to pray before God triune. You know, God himself will take care that his glory spread through and cover all the earth. He'll take care of it. But he's pleased to include the prayers and cares of his people in the fulfilling of this divine promise. That's the fact. How we should be encouraged with this petition too. For when truly prayed by us, God makes our lives rightly focused then and truly fruitful to his glory and honor and for our neighbor's well-being, exactly as the petition is asking of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We read in Proverbs 18, verse 10. It doesn't mean they hide in that tower. They hide in there for refuge, but they also get strength in that tower to go forth to be the light that God calls us to be. When God's triune name and
When God triunes name and his glory and honor as revealed in creation and providence and salvation, especially in his Son Jesus Christ, is your and my chief delight and aim and prayer and care in this world. Also now this December 2015 here in Calgary. God will not put us to shame. We can't honor Jesus in his first coming honestly, nor await his second coming with eager anticipation, except we pray and live daily with this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Will you pray it today and all through this week and as we move from 2015 into 2016? We read the psalmist song of Psalm 145 in verse 1 and 2 testifying. Listen to what he says in line with our first petition that Jesus teaches us to pray. The psalmist says, I will extol you, my God, my King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. And then he ends the psalm saying in verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Isn't this how Jesus himself lived? Indeed, in a perfect way. Shall we each at all trust then and follow him as only Savior and Lord and live to help spread the fame of God's most blessed name? In this connection, do you hear too that God's name, or do you care too that God's name not be blasphemed by us, by you and me, in any way, not any day, in how we live and what we say and do and pursue and what we don't do and pursue? You know, the first petition calls us to pray that we be Christians with a godly Christian witness to the honor of God and never to his dishonor or to his discredit. And doesn't this make God's people, when praying this petition, also careful and prayerful to live blameless, holy, humble lives in every way, always? God helping us every step of our earthly pilgrimage. Should we keep this petition more before us also in what we watch and in what we allow ourselves to participate in this ungodly world? Is it not inconsistent, you tell me, is it not inconsistent for a true Christian to pray, hallowed be your name, O God, but then allow yourself in your home to watch movies or to participate in Xbox games that includes swearing and cursing? The taking of God's name is so prevalent today, but true children of God are always pained hearing it. And if not able to prevent it at work or at school, then surely you will not unnecessarily allow it in the homes, especially not for entertainment purposes. In this too, do we show ourselves as strangers in this ungodly world, not comfortable ever here below, and looking for that world to come in glory where God's name will forever be praised and hallowed and exalted without exception by all the redeemed, along with the holy angels, world without end? Shouldn't we want our lives now, by God's grace, to be as close resemblance of the life to come in eternal glory, at least if we truly pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name? Well, our theme has been praying and living the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Having heard some explanation of this petition, and then looked at this example of praying and living this petition, and hearing about encouragement with this petition, will there be any among us who will not pray this petition? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, truly praying this petition as further encouragement, you can know God will help you against the battles you face too. We all face battles. We all have our struggles. You pray this prayer in your struggle, God will help you. He will help you. Oh, that we each and all would pray this petition truly and more as the years go by. Surely it can't help but be noticed in our thoughts, words, and deeds when this first petition is fervently and faithfully prayed or not, also by you and me. Even so, bless this sermon by your Holy Spirit, O God triune, and blessed be your holy name, now and forevermore, in Jesus' name, amen.